being here tonight. I guess that's what I get for asking someone in my youth group to do the announcements. They tell everyone they got scammed and also made fun of me, so what in the world? But no. I'm thankful, though, for Brother Atkinson and for James being the one to just step in and do some things. So praise the Lord. What did Brother Palmer say this morning? We have a deep bench, something along the lines of people that can fill in and do things, and that's a blessing to have a church that can step up like that. All right, well, thank you for being here. Proverbs chapter 10 tonight. This is going to be probably a little bit more of a Bible study than maybe more of a preaching message. I feel like I'm forgetting something. I have my mic. It's on. I don't know. Maybe I'm supposed to tell a joke or something. I don't know. Proverbs chapter 10. You know what? Let's do this real quick. Anyone have a praise that they'd like to praise the Lord for? Miss Rhonda. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's awesome. Praise the Lord. That's great. Soul got saved today. That's awesome. Amen. I don't know if you can top that, but anyone else have one? Yes, Miss Loptowski. It worked. Amen. 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 Yeah, it's awesome when we pray and then it works and we're like, whoa, that worked. Like, yeah, that's what happens. Prayer works. Amen. Anybody else? But Brother Daly. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Don't have to, but just want to give anyone a chance if they have something pressing that they want to praise the Lord for tonight. All right. Well, praise the Lord for those things. Those are a blessing. So this is a chorus I sing with the teenagers. It comes from Psalm 19:14, I believe, but it goes like this. If you know it, sing it out, and then we'll sing it again if you don't know it. But it goes, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. O Lord, O Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. All right, you heard it once. Try to sing it if you can. And help me sing. If you can sing out, if you know it, I'd appreciate it. Let's do it one more time. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. O Lord, O Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. Amen. We're going to talk some tonight about our words, so I thought that would be a little nice chorus to start off with. But Proverbs chapter 10, and we're just going to read two verses kind of to jump off this evening. Proverbs 10 and verse number 31, the Bible says this. It says, the mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the froward tongue shall be cut out. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, But the mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this night, Lord. I thank you for this opportunity to be in church. Thank you, Lord, for these faithful folks to come out on a Sunday evening, to be willing to put up with me preaching again tonight and being faithful to your house. Lord, I pray you'd speak with us and meet with us tonight. God, I pray you'd bless them for being here. Lord, I believe this is what you laid on my heart for this evening. So God, I pray you'd help me to just kind of teach it and preach it. Maybe not as an exciting of a message, but Lord, I do think there's some valuable things we're going to look at tonight concerning our speech and concerning our words. And God, I pray you'd bless it, Lord. I pray you would use your word to just reach the hearts of your people. And God, whatever your purpose may be, I pray you'd accomplish it. So God, once again, I pray you'd get me out of the way tonight, that the things I say would be from you and not from me. I thank you, Lord, for this morning and what you did. But God, I need some fresh oil and a fresh anointing and fresh power from you. So God, I pray that you do the work, that you'd help us tonight, speak to our hearts. God, we need you a whole lot. So Lord, please bless this time. And Lord, we love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And so just kind of, we're going to come back to this spot here in a little bit, but just kind of starting off, we need to understand this evening how important our words are. It's something, I mean, we speak every day, we say things every day, we kind of just go through the motions and talk, and a lot of times maybe don't really think about and don't really understand how important the words of our mouth are. This little thing, our tongue, how important it is, and the focus we need to have on what we say and how we use our words. Once again, we'll be back in Proverbs chapter 10, but over in Proverbs chapter 18, we'll be flipping a lot through Proverbs tonight and looking at a bunch of scriptures. Like I said, a little bit probably more teachy tonight maybe than preachy. But Proverbs 18 and verse number 21, the Bible says this. The Bible says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. I mean, that's a pretty, like, that's some pretty strong language that the Lord put in his word. Once again, this is not just me. This is not even just Solomon saying this. This is God himself saying that, hey, in your tongue, you have the power of life and you have the power of death with the words that you say. The power to encourage, the power to lift up, hey, the power to share the gospel and see someone get saved or encourage a Christian, a power to just bring about life and goodness and godly things. But on the same hand, you also have the power in that same tongue to bring forth death, to bring forth discouragement, to bring forth perverse things, to bring forth something that's going to hurt someone else or cause pain in the life of someone else. That is the power tonight that we have in our words. Your words can really either help, your words can either really help someone or they can really hurt someone. And once again, you know, sometimes I think we live in a world today that is a little bit too fragile and a little bit too pansy-ish, if we're just being honest tonight. But the reality is our words do matter. And our words are important because they can help someone or hurt someone, but also that someone it can help or hurt is sometimes ourselves, right? It's not just the other person. Sometimes you can bring life in your life through what you say and blessings and a good testimony and all those things, but you can also bring a lot of trouble on yourself by what you say. And so what I'm just trying to say is we should probably care about what we say. We should probably focus on the importance of our words because good or evil can come from it. Some good things we can look at. Go to Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse number 11. And I'm trying to try not to repeat myself too much tonight, but there are some of these verses that kind of overlap and say some of the same things. But it's okay. It's okay to hear these things and hopefully get them ingrained in our mind. But Proverbs 10 and verse number 11, the Bible says that the mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. But talking about the good things, your mouth as a righteous person, as someone who does the right thing and pleases God, can be a well of life. Right? Like I said, your words could be used to bring someone to Christ. That's life, right? To change someone's eternity. Hey, Miss Rhonda gave that praise today that, you know what, her and some of her friends used their words today as a well of life to see someone get saved. That's a blessing. Your words can bring life and encouragement to someone's life, or to just simply proclaim the word of God or lift up Jesus Christ or just be a help. That's what your words can be tonight. It can be a well of life. Go over to Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse number 25, Proverbs 12 and verse number 25, the Bible says this. It says, heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. You know, we live in a world today that's full of discouragement. And a world that is full of things that like to get us down and just kind of pummel us into the ground. And you know, we can carry around heaviness in our heart at times. Right? Where we just, you know, we're trying to work our job or live our life or even just kind of come to church. But there's just, man, this world gets to us sometimes, right? And it makes our heart stoop. We're discouraged. We're downhearted. We're maybe even depressed. And you know what can happen, though, when someone comes along and gives a good word, it makes our heart glad. I'm thankful for the times in my life where maybe I've been a little discouraged or maybe a little lost or maybe just whatever, downhearted, and someone comes along and they say something kind. Or there have been times where maybe I'm going through something, and you know what? I'll get a text from one of my friends and they'll say, hey, you know what? I'm praying for you today. You know what that does for me? It helps lift up my spirits. It helps encourage me that even though I was a little downhearted, a good word maketh my heart glad. I'm sure I'm not the only one that that's happened to. And so that's a good challenge for us to, you know what, use our words to lift up other people. Because you don't know what someone's going through. They may put a smile on their face. They may seem like everything's okay. Or maybe it's someone you're not around that you could text them with. You don't know. But you don't know what a good word could do for them. Praying with them, praying for them, saying nice things, whatever. And like I said, maybe it's not just in person. Maybe it is just sending a text message every once in a while. I'm thankful that I read through Proverbs because sometimes I'll go through Proverbs and I'll see this. And the Lord just put someone in my heart and say, hey, why don't you just send them a text that you're praying for them or that you appreciate them. You know why? Because you don't know what they're going through. And a good word can make the heart glad even if it's stooped. To go over to Proverbs chapter 15, I'm just trying to give you some things of good things that can come from our words. Proverbs chapter 15, and in verse number 1, the Bible says this. The Bible says, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Maybe we don't think about this a whole lot. Maybe we think more about the grievous words that stir up anger, right? We think more about, you know, people that have a problem with each other, or someone's mad and they say something they shouldn't to someone else, and that person responds with a mean word, and then it just kind of escalates from there, and there's just verbal attacks and frustration. But you know what your words can do? Your words can diffuse a situation. The Lord can use your words to help someone who's maybe grievous or stirred up a little bit, and a soft answer, not attacking them, not getting mad back, not yelling at them, but just calm, whatever, being kind, being humble, not taking it personally, just, you know, it's okay, or I'm sorry, or that can, what? A soft answer turneth away wrath. I can remember sometimes when I worked at McDonald's, and I work customer service a lot. And so, of course, it's McDonald's, and it's McDonald's, so things aren't always done the right way. And so there'd be people that come into the lobby, and they were kind of upset because they didn't get their cheeseburger, or they had cheese on their hamburger, or this thing happened, or they didn't see Shelby smiling because she knows all about it because she worked at McDonald's. But you know what I found? That a lot of times if someone came in, and I mean, there were people that would be upset, and they'd be mad and frustrated, but if I'd be like, hey, you know what, I'm sorry, our bad, we'll make it right. A lot of times that diffused the situation. I'm not saying it happened all, but more often than not, if I had a soft answer instead of just getting mad at them and being like, what's your problem? Like, right, just, oh, no, I'm sorry. Like, it calmed them down. And they were fine. Oh, okay, I understand. We can make it right. And then things were better. Why? Because a soft answer can turn away wrath. That's the power that your mouth has. Husbands, when your wife's mad at you, wife, when your husband's mad at you, you know what? A soft answer can turn away wrath. Whenever this person, your coworker, or this person at the job site, or your schoolmate, or call it, a soft answer can turn away. That's the power of your tongue. It can bring life. It can bring good, even in a hard situation. And so we see it can bring good. Is this all making sense this morning? This morning. This evening. Once again, I know this is not maybe the most like, woo, hit open and holler, but I think it's good stuff for us to hear, right? And so it can bring good, but it can also bring evil. Your tongue can also bring evil. Go to Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse number 18, the Bible says this. Proverbs 12, 18, the Bible says, there is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. Do you understand tonight that your words can be used to hurt other people? Your words can be used to cut other people down. And once again, I'm not talking about the flaky stuff of trying to be offended in everything someone says and joking and how. I'm talking about when you're being mean or nasty to someone. I'm talking about when you get in your flesh and someone's on your nerves, so you say something hateful towards them. I'm talking about when you gossip or talk about someone behind their back. I'm talking about when you just, whatever, get in your flesh and get mad, so you yell at someone. And maybe, see, some of us don't yell at people. We just make sly comments that have some barbs attached to them. You know what it does, though? It hurts. It's like a piercing of a sword. I'm sure I'm not the only one here tonight that's been hurt by words before. Right? Especially when someone maybe hits a nerve or something you're maybe a little bit insecure on or something that you struggle with, and then someone throws it in your face, not in a nice way, not trying to help you, but just to be me. That hurts. It's like a piercing of a sword. That's the power of your words. You can really hurt someone and really run someone down with what you say to them. Go over to Proverbs chapter 26. Proverbs chapter 26. And verse number 22. Proverbs 26 and verse number 22, the Bible says this. The Bible says, the words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. That's the power of words. The power of a talebearer. The power of someone that lies about someone else. You ever been lied about before? Does that feel nice and fuzzy on the inside when you find out someone's been running you down and lying about you or talking about? No. So you know what? That should cause us to not want to do that to other people because it hurts. Or being gossiped about, or someone won't say something to your face, but they'll run around to everyone else behind you and talk bad about you, right? It hurts when you find that. So why would we do that to other people? But the point, that's the power of our words, even though they're just things that maybe we don't even think about. And a lot of times we can be guilty of just saying things and not really thinking. But words can hurt. They really can. Go to Proverbs chapter 18. Just trying to show you this evening the power of your tongue, the power of your words. Proverbs 18 and verse number 6, the Bible says this. The Bible says, a fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. That sounds familiar, like the verse we just read, right? And I would say, hey, if God puts it twice in Scripture, it's something we should probably pay attention to and understand the importance of how our words can hurt people. But really what I look at, though, is it says in verse 7 and 8, a fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. Do you understand? Your words can bring evil upon yourself, right? Not just hurt the person you're talking to, but you can say things that are going to affect your testimony. You can say things that are going to affect what people think of you, which is kind of your testimony. You can say things that are going to affect the outcome of situations. And you know what it says? A fool's mouth bringeth destruction upon himself. Now, why you ought to care what you say? Because guess what? It may end up biting you if you say something you shouldn't. And I've been guilty of that. Sometimes because purposefully being mad or upset and saying something. Maybe I'm not really meaning to, but I've said things that have hurt other people. And you know what? It's come back to hurt me because it's affected what they think of me. It's affected my testimony. It's affected all that kind. And guess what? A fool's mouth bringeth destruction. And so I'm just trying to say we need to understand that guess what? Life and death are in the power of our tongue, in the power of our words. Your words can bring life and good, or they can bring evil and they can bring death. And so all that to say, you know what? This should cause us to consider how we use our mouth and words. Right? It really ought to make us think of what we say and why we say it and all those things. But going back to Proverbs chapter 10 and verse number 32, I'd like to ask us, what category do we fall under in this verse? Right? Because in Proverbs 10 and verse number 32, the Bible says, the lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness, which is perverseness. And so our words, are the things that we say acceptable, or are they perverse to the Lord? In our daily life, in our conversations with our family, the conversations with our kids or our spouses, with the conversation with our friends, the conversations with our coworkers, the conversations with our schoolmates, brothers, sisters, what? Does the Lord look at our words and say, you know what, that's acceptable in my sight. That's what I want you to say. That is pleasing to me. I'm happy with that. Or would he look at it and say, you know what, it's perverse. And yes, perverse can mean sometimes filthy and vile. We shouldn't talk like that. But perverse simply means not used for the way it's intended. Gossip is perverse. Lying is perverse. Running other people down and speaking evil is perverse. And so as we think about this, maybe we ought to ask, what category do I fall under? You know what? Because I want to fall under the lips of a righteous man, right? I want to be known as a righteous man, not as the wicked. If you go over to Proverbs chapter 15, Proverbs 15 and verse number 2, Proverbs 15 and verse number 2, the Bible says this. It says, the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of the fools poureth out foolishness. And so once again, when we think about our words, are my words beneficial or are they hurtful? Do I use knowledge aright to lift up and encourage and help and all those things? Or does it pull out foolishness, which is wickedness, is evilness, is wrongness, is hurtful things? What do my words do? And once again, I know maybe this seems common, but this is something I think we should probably think about more than we do. Because that's the power of our tongue and the power of our lips. And you know what? We need to understand this evening how easy it is to sin with our mouth. How easy it is to say the wrong thing. Go over to James. We're going to be back in Proverbs. You can keep something there if you'd like. But over in James chapter 3. And look, maybe y'all just say the right thing all the time and never have any problem with saying the wrong thing. But I struggle with it sometimes. So this is good for me to talk about and remember and learn and preach on and all those things. James chapter 3. And I think really sometimes what we struggle with is with people that we're closest to. Because we get comfortable with them, right? I mean, we know kind of like the people at the store and the people we see at church. Because we know we're supposed to put up we're supposed to be Christians. But then sometimes the people we're closest to, because we're close to them, we feel like we can just say things or do things because we're close and they know me. Or I'm just not thinking. I just am not on guard as much about our words. But really, I think your family and your loved ones are the ones you should be on guard the most with to make sure you don't say hurtful things and things that you shouldn't, and have your mouth as a well of life, as the Bible says. But anyways, James chapter 3, in verse number 1, the Bible says, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brother, in these things ought not so to be. There's a whole lot to unpack in those verses. And I mean, James says some pretty strong things. You know what he says? If you can find someone that doesn't sin with their mouth at some point in their life, you found a perfect person. You know what I see in here? A group, including myself, of unperfect people. So you know what that means? That means sometimes we struggle and sin with our mouth and saying the wrong thing. And in verse number 8, he says, but the tongue, or he talks about, you know, there's all these things that have been tamed, all these creatures and all these animals that mankind has been able to tame. But it says, verse 8, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. That's your tongue. That's my tongue. That's how easy it is to say the wrong thing. How easy it is to lash out with poisonous things and hurtful things and nasty things, even to people we care and even to people we love. And he says about, you know what, we shouldn't bless God with our mouth in one sentence and in the next sentence curse our brother. And that's easy to do, right? We can come to church and talk about we love God and praise God and sing the hymns and then go home tonight and say nasty things to your wife or to your husband or to your children or to your parents or about the pastor or whatever the case may be. I'm just trying to say we need to understand that, man, our tongue can cause some problems. And we need to ask the Lord for help with it. We really do. If you go to Psalm chapter 141, Psalm 141, isn't this such a fun Bible study tonight? Psalm 141. Psalm 141 in verse number 3, David says this. Psalm 141 in verse number 3, the Bible says, "Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips." You know what David had to pray? God, would you put a guard on my mouth? Would you put a watch on the things that I say, because I know how easy it is to say the wrong thing? Hey, when's the last time you, when's the last time myself, when's the last time we prayed for God to put a guard on our mouths? When's the last time you woke up in the morning and said, "Hey, Lord, you know what? I know my tongue's full of unruly evil and poison and wants to say the wrong thing. And maybe there's this coworker, maybe there's a schoolmate, maybe there's this family member that's good. Lord, would you put a guard on my lips to make sure I don't say the wrong thing?" Because we need God's help. Do you understand what the tongue no man can tame? You can't control your tongue by yourself. I can't control my words by ourselves. You know what I need? Hey, we talked about it this morning, the power of God. The Lord's help to make sure our tongue and our words are used for life and not for death. And so just real quickly before we end tonight, I just want to give you some things to keep in mind about your words as we're talking about this. Some things that we should maybe just pray on or think on. I'd like to just say first off, and we'll try to make this quick. But number one, think and pray before you speak. Think and pray, if you can, before you speak. Go over to James chapter 1. Once again, we'll be in Proverbs then, but James chapter 1. James chapter 1. I know that's a familiar saying, think before you speak, but I think it's good for us to hear. James 1 and verse number 19, the Bible says this. It says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." You know what we can be guilty of? Being real quick to say what's on our mind. Being real quick to be angry. Being real quick to be upset. Be real quick to be frustrated and say something we shouldn't. And not just say something we shouldn't, but text something we shouldn't, or message something we shouldn't, or comment something we shouldn't. Why? A lot of times it's because we're mad. It's a lot of times because we're frustrated, and maybe even like, in a sense, maybe rightfully so. But we get in our flesh and we want to say something to put the other person in their place, or to let them know that they're wrong and we're right, or to make sure they feel hurt the way that we do. You know, we need to realize tonight that we need to learn how to respond, not react. To not just get in our flesh and say, you know what, I feel like saying this, so I'm going to say it because, man, it's going to make me feel good if I say it. But some take some time to think about it and pray about it and say, okay, is this something I should say? You know what I found, if I'm being honest, there's a lot of conversations I haven't had, a lot of comments I haven't commented, a lot of texts I haven't sent, a lot of words I haven't said, when I actually take some time to pray on it and say, God, is this something I should say? You know why? Because the wrath of man produceth not the righteousness of God. You may feel better about yourself because you said that thing or commented that thing or posted that thing or whatever the thing is today, sent that text, but that doesn't mean God's going to use it to help the person you're talking to. In fact, a lot of times it makes it worse because we get in our flesh and we say it in pride and in contention, and that's not going to help anybody. Because the reason we should say or talk to someone if there is to try to help them. Is try to help them get right or do right to please the Lord, not just because, well, they're right or they're wrong and I'm right and they need to know it and they need to get, because then it's the wrath of man. It's our frustration boiling over, and you know what? The wrath of man doesn't produce the righteousness of God. You can get as mad as you want. You can yell as hard as you want. You can make the best barbed comment that you want that is such a sick burn, as the kids would say. Maybe the kids don't say it anymore. I don't know if they say it or not, but that's what we used to say as kids. Sick burn. But you know what? As good as it may make you feel, it's not going to produce the righteousness of God. Husband, it's not going to help your wife. Wife, it's not going to help your husband. Parent, it's not going to help your kid. Kid, it's not going to help your parent. It's not going to help your brother or your sister or your schoolmate or your friend or that dumb person at the store or at your work or on the internet. It's not going to help. It's not going to help. Go over to Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs 29 and verse number 20. The Bible says this, Proverbs 29:20. Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There is more hope of a fool than of him. Once again, some strong language. Someone that's quick to shoot off their mouth or send off that text or do the comment or whatever. I just probably don't have to explain that every single time I say it, but just whatever. But you know, so there's more hope of a fool than someone who's real quick to just say what they want to say. Once again, whether that's yelling, whether that's just a small, quiet bark, there's more hope of a fool than someone who's hasty in his words. Look in verse number 11. Verse number 11 says this. The Bible says, a fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it until afterwards. You know what our problem is we think we're smart. We think we know everything. We think we've got it all figured out, so that's why we're so quick to want to say something or put that thing out there because, man, look what I know and look what I can, and then we say it, and then it's like, whoa, that was really stupid. I shouldn't have said that because now I've just made things worse. But that's what a fool does. A fool doesn't take time to pray. A fool doesn't take time to think. A fool doesn't take time to seek the Lord. A fool just says, you know what, I want to say it, and it's going to make me feel better, so I'm going to say it. But you know what? Do you ever ask yourself in those situations, does God want me to say this? Before you run someone down, before you make that comment, before you yell at them, before you have that conversation, before you send that text or that, do you ever sit there and ask and say, okay, Lord, is this something you want me to say? Because remember, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. And I'm not saying, I'm talking to myself tonight. That's helped me a lot, and I still get in trouble with my mouth. But one thing that has helped me is trying to start to take some time. And there have been times, man, where I've, like, had the text written out or had the thing ready to go, man. And then I pray about it, and the Lord's like, you know what? Your heart's not right in that. And you're not saying it because you care about them or you're trying to help them. You're saying it because you're frustrated. You're saying it because you're mad. You're saying it because you want to put them in their place, and that's not of me. That's of your flesh and of the devil. And it's been very nice and helpful just to say, okay, Lord, is this what... And sometimes he says, yeah, go ahead. A lot of times I think it's very helpful. And so number one, I just want to say, think and pray before you speak. But number two, don't be so quick to tear others down. Don't be so quick to tear others down. And I'm not talking tonight about calling sin, sin. All right? I'm not talking tonight about being afraid to say, hey, this is sin and this is wrong according to God's word and we're going to call it what it is. I'm talking about being mean and cruel to someone. I'm talking about just running them down to make yourself feel better or to embarrass them or to be hurtful. Go to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. Titus 3 and verse number 1. The Bible says this. The Bible says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared. You know what the Bible says? It says you better be careful of speaking evil of somebody else. You better be careful of running someone else down and being nasty and mean, either to their face or behind their back. And look, I understand people do wrong things sometimes, and there are people out there that aren't the best people. And once again, I'm not saying tonight we can't call sin, sin. I'm not saying tonight we can't call something out and say, hey, this is what the Bible says, and this needs to be addressed or taken care of. I'm talking about how quick we are to run other people down. How quick we are to point out everybody else's faults and flaws and say, hey, did you see so-and-so did this and so-and-so's this and so-and-so acts this way and, man, I can't believe so-and-so is such an idiot or so stupid or so dumb and they're this and they're that. And we're not saying it to help. We're not saying it because we care. We say it because we don't like what they're doing or we don't like them. Better be careful about talking bad about your pastor. That's the man God set in our church as our leader. And believe it or not, your kids pick up on that stuff. I think there's a lot of parents that wonder why their kids grow up and don't have respect for them or talk bad about them. Well, it may be because on the ride from home every Sunday, they heard them talk about, well, the pastor said this and shun. I can't believe pastor's this. And to speak evil of no man. to speak evil of your spouse, to speak evil of your children, to speak evil of your parents. Once again, because people don't always do the right thing, to speak evil of fellow church members. Look, I understand we're not perfect. And sometimes you're going to do things to get on my nerves, and I'm going to do things to get on your nerves. But that doesn't give us a right to go around and run each other down to everybody else. Because you know what? And he says here, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient. Look, I know as perfect as we like to make ourselves seem, we mess up just as much as anybody else does. And yeah, that person may have done something foolish or stupid or something they shouldn't have, but maybe they just messed up and they're going to try to make it right and do the right thing. But if all you do is run around and tell everyone else about how terrible they are, well then guess what? That's going to really hurt them trying to get right or their testimony. And guess what? When you mess up, do you want someone to go around running you down and talking bad about you? And once again, I'm not saying tonight we can't call out sin, or if someone does something wrong, we'd be like, oh, we can't say anything. I'm not saying that. I think we all know tonight the difference between caring about someone and pointing out sin and wrongdoing and just simply running someone down because we don't like them or we don't like what they did or maybe even they hurt us or whatever the case may be. Because the Bible so says to speak evil of no man, to be gentle and showing meekness unto all men. Because yes, yeah, sometimes you can call sin out. Sometimes you can go to someone and say, hey brother, hey sister, you did this and this is wrong. Or to someone else and say, hey, we need to pray for somebody, not gossiping, but actually praying for them. Because, but it should be done in meekness. The Bible says, I believe it's in 2 Timothy, about in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. It's not a got you. It's not, hey, everybody, look at this and see how wrong they are and how wicked they are and how terrible they are. No, it's, hey, I care about you. And I'm saying this thing because I'm trying to help you get right with God so God can bless you. There's a spirit of meekness and care, not of pride, not of trying to make yourself look better, right? And if you go to Galatians 5 and verse number 13, the Bible says this. It says, for brethren, ye have been called into liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. And we're supposed to love one another. We're supposed to show meekness toward one another, toward our church family, toward our family, toward the people we come into contact with. But specifically, he's talking here to the church. You know what he says? Take heed that you don't bite and devour one another. You don't consume one another. That's not talking about we're physically going to be taking bites out of each other. You know how we do that? We do that by running each other down. We do that by running around to other people and saying, hey, do you see what so-and-so did? You know, so-and-so is this, and so-and-so acts this way, and I can't believe they would be this, and I can't believe the pastor would make this decision, and I can't believe this other church member didn't shake my hand. I can't believe. But that's what churches do, and you know what I've seen? I've seen churches fall apart because all that happens is they bite and devour one another. And this person goes around talking about this person, and this person tries to retaliate. Now they're going around talking about this, and all of a sudden you have this divide in the church because you got this group of people that's against this person, and this group of people that's against this, and all they do is just bite and devour, and it breaks the unity, it breaks the bond, it breaks what God's trying to do. Why? Because of words. Believe it or not, it happens. And so I'm just trying to say, yes, we can call sin sin, and yes, we should be there to try to help, and sometimes have to take a stand, say, hey, this is wrong. We better make sure we're doing it in a spirit of meekness and love and kindness and not just running people down because we don't like them or we don't like what they're doing or they didn't make a decision that we wanted them to make. Because guess what? We all mess up sometimes. None of us are perfect. And like I said, that includes gossip and being a scorner. Don't be so quick to tear others down. But then lastly, I'd just like to say some things to think about with our words is be gracious. Is be gracious. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse number 12, the Bible says this. The Bible says, the words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool will swallow them up. God wants us to have gracious words. If you go over to Luke chapter 4, Actually, let's go there. Luke chapter 4, real quick. Luke chapter 4, just because I want you to see it. Luke 4, verse number 22. Talking about having gracious words. The example that our Savior gave us. Luke 4 and verse number 22. This is when Jesus was speaking. It says, Luke 4, 22, "And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son?" You know what they talked about with Jesus' words? That they were gracious. Gracious means favorable, means kind, merciful, disposed to forgive offenses and impart unmerited blessings. Over in John 1:14, what talks about the Lord, you know it says he was full of grace and truth. Yes, he had truth. Yes, he called sin, sin. Yes, there were some people that didn't like him because he said, this is how it is, whether you like it or not, I'm staying. But he had grace. He had kindness. He showed mercy. He showed unmerited blessings and forgiveness. And you know what we need to be, Christians? You know what we need to have? Gracious words. You know what that means? That means sometimes it's good to be kind, even if the other person doesn't deserve it. And sometimes it's good to be quiet, even if the other person does deserve it. That means sometimes there may be a person and they're not your favorite person and they're not maybe doing everything right. And maybe there's even some things that they're doing that are getting on your nerves. But you know what you should be? You should be gracious. You should say something kind about them. And you should encourage them some. And maybe go up to them and say, hey, you know what? I'm praying for you. Maybe they don't deserve it. Maybe they're doing something and you should have a right to, but no, you know what? I'm going to be gracious. That's what the Lord does with us sometimes, right? There are times when I don't deserve God's blessing, but he still blesses me. And you know what? Sometimes there are times where there's somebody, and man, you have them dead to rights, and you could just say the perfect barb, the perfect thing to just show them that they're wrong, and man, you got that. But you know what you need to be sometimes? You need to be gracious. And just because you can say it doesn't mean you should. And say, hey, you know what? Maybe I should let the Lord deal with them on that. Maybe I should pray for them instead of running them down. Because once again, don't you appreciate when the Lord does that for you or when someone else does that for you? Because there's not a single person in here tonight that's never been in a spot where someone could get us dead to rights and could say something about us and could run us down. But I appreciate when someone shows me grace. And so you know what? I'm just trying to say tonight, the Bible says that a wise man's mouth, the words of a wise man's mouth are gracious. I want to be a wise man. I don't want my mouth to swallow me up as a fool. So be gracious. Some things to think about with our words, right? Think and pray before you speak. Don't be so quick to tear others down and learn to be gracious. You know why? Because guess what? You reap what you sow. If you want people to be gracious with you, then you know what? You need to be gracious with other people. And so just in closing, I want to give you some last couple verses and we'll be done quick. But some verses to remember about guarding your mouth. Some things to maybe pray on or memorize. And you know, I heard it said before, you better make sure your words are sweet because one day you may have to eat them. Amen. And so let's just look at a couple verses here. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 13 and we'll be done tonight. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse number 3. Proverbs 13 and verse number 3. The Bible says this. The Bible says, "He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction." You want to be careful about my words, because once again, I don't want to end up hurting myself or getting myself into trouble because I open my mouth wide into destruction. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life. Go to Proverbs 21. That includes the times when you really want to say something. That includes the times when you're really frustrated. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life. Proverbs 21. And verse number 23, the Bible says this, Proverbs 21 and 23, the Bible says, "Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from trouble." Once again, trouble with God, trouble with other people, trouble from saying the wrong thing. Once again, I know, believe me, I know it's hard sometimes to keep your mouth shut, to not send, press that send button or whatever. But hey, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. And you'll be surprised maybe too the opportunities God will give you if you deny your flesh some and you ask the Lord for strength and power and you, or maybe God will give you an opportunity down the road and it'll be a good conversation. You can help someone, but man, you're just quick to, nope, I'm going to say it. Well, guess what? Probably going to find yourself in some trouble and saying some things that you're going to regret. Go to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 8. 1 Peter 3, 8. The Bible says, "Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile." I want to see in your tongue from evil. As much as you want to say it, as much as you think it's going to get them, if it's not of God, you better not say it. We could also talk about the guile part, about lying and being deceitful. We won't go into that subject, but the same thing. No, we're just trying. God. Matthew 34, this is Jesus speaking. "Generation of vipers, how speak good things, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say that every idle word that men shall give account thereof in the day of thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." And so I think there's a good there to remember heart, right? Because reasons why all them out is because we don't have the better. That's why we need God's word. That's why we need to be walking with God so good things come out. But that's some pretty strong things that the Lord says. Every idle word. You understand one day God's going to give an account of all the words that you said. All the good things and all the bad things. You know what he says? That by your words you're going to be justified and by your words you're going to be condemned. I'm afraid there's probably going to be a lot of words that I've said that I'm going to stand before God one day and be ashamed of. Because they weren't from God, they weren't encouraging, they weren't life, they were nasty, they were cruel, they were in my flesh, they were from frustration, they were because I was. And guess what? Every idle word that men shall speak, they should give account. Now praise the Lord for the blood of Christ, that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins so we can get it under the blood. But you know what that should cause us to do? Hey, Lord, would you forgive me for some of the things I've said? And maybe go to someone that you said something you shouldn't have and apologize to them and ask their forgiveness as well and say, hey, would you forgive me for some of the things that I said? But maybe we ought to think about that. That you know what? Man, death and life are in the power of the tongue. I'm going to really either help someone a lot or I'm going to hurt someone a lot with my words. And one day, I'm going to stand before God accountable for that. Every comment, every yelling, every text message, every comment, every post, all of it. You know what? We're going to stand before God one day. And that's a sobering thought. That should cause us to want to say, you know what, God, Lord, put a guard on my mouth. Set a watch on my tongue. Lord, would you help me to say things that are life and helpful and glorifying to you, not that tear other people down and hurt them. And so just some stuff tonight about our words. And so I don't think we need a piano player tonight, but let's just bow our heads and close our eyes, and let's just spend some time just maybe thinking about this. Like I said, I know this wasn't a hooping and hollering message or some whatever, but I do believe this is what the Lord put on my heart. And maybe tonight you'd just like to take some time in the quietness of the room to talk to the Lord about your words. Maybe you need to take some time, maybe to ask the Lord for some forgiveness about the things that you've said. Maybe you need to take some time to say, you know what, Lord, would you help me to say the right things? Lord, would you put a watch on my mouth and a guard on my lips that, God, I wouldn't use it in a wrong way. Lord, help me to use my words to be an encouragement, to help. Lord, give me some reminders throughout the week or throughout the day that a heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stupid, a good word maketh it glad. So, Lord, maybe put some people on my mind that I could send a text message to or call up or just say, hey, you know what, I'm praying for you and I appreciate just to be encouraged, whatever it is. But I think this is a big deal because I think this is something we all struggle with our words and with our mouth. So we'll just take a couple of minutes here in the quietness of the room to just do some business with the Lord, whatever the Lord spoke to you on, and then we'll pray and be dismissed. Dear and Father, Lord, just thank you for this night. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, God, for just a reminder, Lord, about how we have to be careful about our words. And Lord, I know maybe there's some negative connotation. I pray, Lord, this isn't just a convicting message, or we just have to leave here thinking about how awful our tongues are. But Lord, I pray you'd put in our hearts a reminder that, God, our tongues can be used for good. It can be used to praise your name. It can be used to preach the gospel, Lord. It can be used to encourage and lift others up. And so, Lord, I do pray you'd work on our hearts and you'd convict us about the ways we use our mouth and our tongue for wrong. And, God, that we would work on having a guard on our mouth and tongue. But Lord, I pray you'd help us to leave more so just encouraged, God, to want to use our tongue for good and use our tongue to bring forth life. And so, Lord, I am thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ that does cleanse us. And Lord, I know I've, more than I'd like to admit, God, used my tongue for the wrong thing. And I do ask your forgiveness for that. But I'm thankful, Lord, that you do forgive us. And God, that we can move on. And God, you can help us to do better and to be better. And so, Lord, I just pray that your word accomplished its purpose. I pray these are things that we would keep in our minds and our hearts, and we would just really throughout our days and weeks and years and our life, God, have these verses hidden in our heart that we wouldn't sin against you with our tongue. But Lord, I just love you tonight. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for these folks gathered here tonight at Faith Baptist Church, and I pray you'd bless them for being faithful tonight on a Sunday night. And I pray you'd give us a good rest this night. And God, I just want to say I love you. Thank you for being so good to me. And Lord, I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, thank you for being here.